Good morning, everybody. Happy holidays from Tam and Janet. I hope you all had a blessed Christmas. And Tam and I are here today to talk about what's coming next.
Yes, we are. I'm so excited, Janet. I'm excited about January.
Tomorrow is the day I do my astrology of 2024. So I've been working on that for weeks, it seems like, right? Interrupted by a new baby coming and, holidays and all of that. So I've been, doing this in bits and pieces. And finally, yesterday, I got it all together. And I'm amazed at what 2024 is bringing. And it starts day one with January 1st, which is just Monday.
Yeah, I know. I feel like 2023 has been a blur, but nobody will forget 2023. There were so many twists and turns. That number 5 built into the 20, I know it was a 7 year, but 23 itself is a 5 energy.
Yes. Yeah,
and the twists and turns that were in 2023, like, not, no offense, but closing the book on 2023, I don't mind.
I do believe I've already put my 2023 away because now I'm just 2024. I didn't want to look at 2023 no mo.
I got them both.
Yeah. I figured because the next time I would use the almanac would be in January. I just put 2023's away.
That's why you file it away. I filed it away.
But we have so much going on that really begins in January, but not necessarily January 1st, at least in my estimation. The whole idea of New Year's resolutions and all of that really doesn't take shape, I don't think, until we get to the January 11th new moon. Mm-hmm. And there are several reasons for that. So everybody take a breather.
Ooh,
sit back.
Let's raise our glasses. You got to raise your coffee to me.
You get your coffee. I have my gratitude cup this morning. Grateful.
Salud.
Boom. Right? Take some time for yourselves these next couple of weeks and really get some clarity about what you want from 2024, what you want in your business, what you want in your family, your finances, your health, and any other area of life that you can think of. But don't feel pressured or pressed to be ready on January 1st to do it, because the energy isn't really with us for it.
That is exactly right. I want to highlight that the illustration for January 2024. We were just talking about how 2023 was such a roller coaster. Uh-huh. It's safe for me to expect great experiences this year. What a nice statement. Like, you don't have to be ready and jump in, like you said, January 1st, but it's safe for you to expect great experiences. Like, let's go slow, pressing the gas on this thing. Explain it well, right?
I don't know that the universe is going to allow the slow press on the gas, but I think the number one thing that all of us need to remember is that we are in the driver's seat. We may not be able to be in control of what's happening in our outer world, but those things are going to happen irregardless of whether we are spending sleepless nights worrying about them, or we are, constantly in anxiety waiting for the next shoe to drop. Those things are going to happen. Right. The only thing we can control is our own responses to everything that is showing up. And that's the amazing aha moment, I think, for us as we go into January. Now, we start the first with Mercury turning direct. Yay!
I know. Oh, you're not joking. Yay.
Yeah. This has been an interesting Mercury retrograde in terms. Usually it's like my technology. Well, I had a couple of tech hiccups, but it's been all about communication with people, interpersonal relationships and all of that. And Mercury turning direct back at 8 Capricorn is really good for me in my personal chart.
Yay.
So I'm liking it.
Yeah.
How about you? What do you think about Mercury going direct?
Oh, are you kidding? The Virgo in me is doing a tap dance over here. Yeah, I've had a fair few issues with the Mercury retrograde, including this morning with some tech stuff. But I'm just ready for it. And let's bring it.
Yeah, let's bring it. So Mercury turns direct at 8 Capricorn. So the Capricorn sector of your chart is ready to explode. So everybody who's out there this morning, and I want to just say good morning to Christine Buckingham and S. Little. And I think that's Sharon Little. J-Lo, good morning to you. Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel, good morning. Narges, good morning. And Julie, good morning to you. And it's great to have all of you listeners there. And I know there are people in the background because I can see the number is higher than the people I see here. So good morning to everybody. Yeah, hold on to your hats. I mean, the Capricorn energy is really just now building. And we can see that in the charts that we pull. For example, did I pull? Oh, I didn't pull this morning's, but here is what the new moon will look like.
Oh, there's so much there. Oh my God.
Look at that.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. I can't get it to come in, but it is Mars, the moon, sun, Pluto, and then the ascendant is also that day with the new moon in Capricorn. So we have what is called a stellium as we move on into the month. So all of that will be building between Monday, the 1st, and the 11th as we move on into January.
Let's do a quick 11th. 1/11, that new moon in Capricorn. I mean, it just says everything, all those initiating one energies in Cap. Holy Moses. I just think it's really brilliant for bringing everything together and mapping out your plan.
Yeah, exactly right, Tam. And this is why I say don't try to force yourself into making resolutions now or to taking action direct, you know, on the 1st or on the 2nd even, because it's just not there completely.
Right.
And once we get to that new moon, then there's plenty of time to start to enact those things, those goals, those dreams, those ideas out into the world. Yeah. But up until that point, and remember, even though Mercury goes direct on the 1st, we're still in the shadow of the Mercury retrograde until January 20th. Mm-hmm. So sit back and enjoy, dream a little, but just don't expect that you're going to be able to execute everything that you want to do just from the 1st. Just won't happen.
Dream a big dream, Janet. Let's go big this year.
Let's dream big. Okay. Go big or go home. This to me, as we look ahead, we have on, so Mercury goes direct in Capricorn. On the 4th, so just a few days later, Mars moves into Capricorn, right? Is that right? You have me questioned. Yes, Mars moves into Capricorn.
Yes.
And Mars does really well in Capricorn.
Yeah, that's
it's Capricorn to me is, you know, is very deliberate. It's a Saturn ruled sign, and it's goal planning, it's goal setting, and actions taken toward goals and things like that. And Mars loves that. The only thing that Mars gets a little frustrated about in Capricorn is the slower pace that Saturn will sometimes initiate. So
for sure.
Yeah. So now we all have Mercury. Then we'll have Mars in the first week of the month in Capricorn, as well as the sun. I forgot to say that. The sun already in Capricorn. So we've got sun and Mars, which means lots of energy.
Lots of
energy. Right? Lots of energy. Mercury, lots of possible communicating about business or learning new skills that can apply to your business, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So the first whole week of January is very lovely in terms of getting ready.
Yeah.
Right. Getting ready, getting those shoes on. And
yeah.
Yeah. To me, it's like when I go to take a walk, right? I have to put my warmer clothes on. Then I have to put my reflective vests on. Then I've got to put my walking shoes on. And then I'm ready to go for the walk. Right. And I got to grab my water. Can't go for a walk without the water. So it's like that, right? We're getting all the pieces put together so we could take our walk.
Absolutely. I love it. We're prepping for the game.
Prepping, that's a good one too. Anything else that first week that you see that you want to talk about?
Nope. My next thing is that moon, that big crazy moon that you can cover all of those transits. For me, I go right into the 11th.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go backwards in time to the 8th and the 9th, mostly the 9th. So, and this is from a human design perspective.
Okay.
On the 9th, we have what is called a nodal shift. So when we look at the south and the north nodes in astrology, they're in a sign, not the same degree of the sign, but they're moving through a sign. And in this case, North Node in Aries, South Node in Libra. But in human design, we get to see an extra little facet of what's going on with the energies of those nodes. Mm. And the nodes on the ninth will shift into like territory that's very exciting. Let's set it that way first. Okay. But also can be shocking as the North Node moves into the gate 51. And the gate 51 sits on the heart center or the will center, and it is known as the gate of shock. Shock and awe, right? Where the unexpected happens, where we are shaken to our core sometimes in some ways, not as a way to harm us or hurt us, but to awaken us. Mm. So in that shadow of the new moon, we have this very intense change. Mm. And the South Node reminds us at the gate 57, which is sitting on the spleen center, a center about survival and thriving and flourishing. It reminds us that we are intuitive beings. So that one way to work through those shocks and surprises is through listening to your inner voice, listening to that intuition. Now that node shift will be with us all the way until May. So I wouldn't expect that that day will hold a huge shock, but I will guarantee that somehow through those next couple of months, that there are some things that can really awaken us as a collective, right? As a collective. So remember that the nodes are the North Node, the personal and the collective direction that mm-hmm. we're moving in. Right? What we need more of, while the South Node is what we're releasing or where the gifts are that we hold that we can bring forward to use in a new way. So with those nodes moving into that pair of gates, what we have is likely some very big changes potentially going on in the collective, right? Maybe because we have to in order to thrive or survive to be able to move into the future.
So let me ask you a question right there. Yeah. It's still relative to Aries in North Node and Libra in the South. So can you create an example of this gate in North Node and Aries?
Yes, I can. So North Node in Aries is all about your identity, being true to yourself, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And the gate 51 will awaken you to where you are inauthentic mm-hmm. or where you have not been true to yourself. And what usually will happen, because, you know, human beings, we're stubborn creatures, something will happen that crumbles the existing project, foundation, whatever it is, so that you are forced almost to become more authentic or to look at things in a new way. So it is one of those gates in human design that we call a red flag, because we don't always know how it's going to show up. It's going to be very individualized. Okay. And like if you're someone who already has the gate 51 defined in the chart, these shocks may not be as strong for you because you're already used to this idea of change and moving with your individuality and transformation towards those things. But for those people who do not have the gate 51, it's going to be suddenly this wake-up call or an aha moment. It can be that as well. The epiphany, the revelation. Mm. So it could be very positive, but I think human beings, we don't like it when we're pushed off of our comfort zones. Sure. And this is one that will really push us off our comfort zone for the first, you know, 3 or 4 months of the year.
It feels very, it sounds very like Uranus. It's very, you know, revelatory and sudden and kind of shocking. Or, yeah. And I also am thinking of like the Tower card inside of tarot, the tarot. Ooh, deck. That's yeah. what I think of it. I don't know.
Yeah, because like the 51 is, we can always look to the 51 in a chart when somebody, let's say, comes up with a cancer diagnosis. And now suddenly their whole life has to change to go more toward healing. And then in retrospect, they go, that was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
right? Because it changed my life. It changed my idea of what joy is and or whatever they're saying about it. Oh, and that's the awakening kind of thing that we get with the Gate 51. Okay. It moves us to be more embodied spirits because that's the gate on the other side, okay. right? Is the gate of spirit. So wherever you're out of alignment with that, shock will happen to move you more toward that spiritual self, that divine entity that you are.
Perfect, because that's kind of in the cards anyway for the year with Saturn in Pisces, right?
Absolutely.
And Neptune but in Pisces, I mean.
Yeah, the thing about it though is that people react as opposed to respond sometimes to these shocks. And of course, that means in the collective, we're likely, especially with the force of Pluto this month moving into Aquarius again, we're likely to see the rubber band effect of some of the nastiness that's been going on in the world. We're already seeing it, right? People already, just to go with the Israel Palestinian issue going on, we're already seeing that. You know, at first everybody was behind Israel and there was like, oh yeah, you got to get these people out of there. But now we're seeing the effects of what's going on with the people and how they're suffering. And now the tide is turning. That's what I call this rubber band effect. It starts out one way, but then the shock and the horror set in and we go a different direction. Yeah. So be ready, because I don't know how that's going to look in the wider world.
Right.
I have, you know, ideas, but they're just ideas. That's be right. ready. That's right. The whole idea. Be ready. Be ready
Everything
for anything.
Is possible.
Anything is possible. So there's that node shift, and that same day, the sun is in a trine to Uranus, and Mars is in a sextile to Saturn. So those coupled together are very powerful transits that are happening. And I think they're of an empowering nature. I don't see them as, you know, terrible. The trine with Uranus just means that maybe some of the things that we're awakening to set the tone for a kinder, gentler, more compassionate, empathic, or empathetic world. I like that.
I like that too.
I choose to think of them that way. I'll be Pollyanna today.
It does sound like those days, 8th and 9th, do, I mean, with the sun being present, and it's more likely we will recognize something on or around those days, don't you think? With the sun still so present. Yeah, I think so too. Let's flag those days, everyone.
8th and 9th. In my calendar, it doesn't show them in a green or in a red. So really? the calendar, well, of course, the calendar doesn't take into effect human design.
Right.
But I would say that 9 has the potential for being a green day. Mm-hmm. But all of that, caveat, dependent on how you as an individual greet this energy of change, of what's happening around you. So, and the moon that day is shifting from Sagittarius to Capricorn. Yep. So the shifting and the morphing of the sands of time, what can we say?
Wow.
And then the new moon on Thursday, the 11th, it is a new moon in Capricorn. It's a late Capricorn moon this time because last year, the Capricorn moon was much earlier. So here we get to really be in that energy of Capricorn, the planning, the goal setting, the ambition, the drive, the setting up of a foundation. It's a beautiful new moon, albeit energetic, high energy.
I am with you. I'm going to listen because this is a loaded event. So I'm going to listen. We really simplify things in the Energy Almanac. So I'm going to listen to all the stuff you're going to say, and I'm going to add it to my notes on my page 35 of my almanac.
Good idea. Page 35. So the first thing is that I noticed is that the sun and moon together in their conjunction is also close to conjunction with Pluto at the 29th. The new moon is occurring at 20 degrees, 44 minutes of Capricorn, and Pluto is sitting at 29:41 of Capricorn. Now, normally I would go with about a 5 or a 6 degree orb, but it's Pluto. Right. So we can take a 15 degree orb with Pluto and still call it a conjunction. So that already sets the tone that this new moon has a very transformational impact. And that transformational impact is likely structured in very Aquarian facing ways. It's Capricorn still.
Yep.
But we're looking at what happens the very next week is Pluto moving into Aquarius and conjuncting the sun exactly on that day.
Mm.
So we have this very, you know, interesting time in that new moon to really take up the best of the past.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
And to move it forward with us into the future while relinquishing the baggage that we don't need any longer, that doesn't fit any longer, right? There's so much I could say about this that impacts the politics of the time, the religions, the, you know, the struggles that we're all facing. Because here's our open invitation from the cosmos to build upon what's been good.
Right.
And what's been stable and what we can count on while letting go of everything else and not being afraid to go into the future.
I always feel that's what Pluto is here for. Out with the bad so that we can build what's good. And I always do this with Pluto. It's like, I'm wiping this out and now I'm growing something.
And astronomers tried to demote him. I mean, really.
Come on. That little powerhouse Tasmanian devil is what I call him, you know?
Yes, but he does it in a way like Uranus is more that Tasmanian devil that you don't expect what, you know, he might do. But from the aspect of the Tasmanian devil being on a course, right? And chewing up the ground, as it were, while he's on his way to it, that is very Plutoan, right? Yeah. So it's a more insistent, but maybe a slower process of change and transformation. But when you have that happening at a new moon, it's an open invite to just, okay, let's be done with all of that and move forward. But don't forget to bring with you all of the things that really made a difference in your life or that makes sense in the context of a new future. Mm. Now, in likewise manner, we have a trine from the new moon to Uranus. Mm-hmm. And a trine is an aspect that just implies sort of an ease and grace and flow in the energies between the two. The new moon is in Capricorn, that's an earth sign, and Uranus is in Taurus, also an earth sign. So they have common ground to work with here. And Taurus is a building sign. Capricorn is also a building sign, but in a different way. Capricorn builds the bones of the plan, let's say, or the blueprints, right? Yep. And Taurus puts it into concrete form. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of a positive thing, I think, to look at in January, that if we wait until that new moon to really start to institute things in our own personal lives, that we have this full authority coming from the universe behind us in this aspect to help us. Now there's a little tension, let's call it, or stress, because the new moon is also in an almost exact square to the nodal axis. So when I say that, I mean the south node is at 20 degrees, 13 minutes of Libra, the north node at 20:13 of Aries, while Capricorn squares both of those signs, and the sun and moon are at 20 degrees, 44 minutes. So it is almost
curious to hear about this, Janet. Tell me about this and what this means.
Well, if you think of the nodal axis in this case as our destiny, like where are we going collectively, but also individually, right? The new moon brings this to us as individuals. Then what it shows us is the difficulties that we might have in releasing the past and moving on into the future. Like we're holding on, like you can see it just, I don't like to go too much into politics, but you just watch the, you know, teeth and nails holding on to the old.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like they're on the last claw holding on, because in this case, you can't hold on any longer. That's why I say it's going to be this is a year, it's pivotal in that we have to decide what we take with us and what we leave behind.
Sure. Yep.
And those nodes squaring say, okay, what work are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. Are you going to just stay the same? Because the universe isn't going to allow you to be the same. Mm-hmm. But you can go kicking and screaming, or you can go with ease and grace. Right? So there you have that.
Ease and grace.
I'm ease and grace all the way. But, you know, as soon as I say that, then something's going to pop up in my own personal life. It's like, oh, I don't want to let go. Right. So that's kind of the issue in a square. There's this tension that we're feeling, this like roiling energy that's saying, okay, I got to move in a new direction, but I'm a little fearful, right? Uranus, even though he's revolutionary and he's a part of this new moon, he's in Taurus, a sign that likes its comfort zone.
Right. Slow to change.
So we're going to have to put some consciousness to it, Tam.
Well, we always should. And applied knowledge is power. And for those of us who are, I'm looking at the comments now, you know, reading and watching, we are the aware ones. So let's let our consciousness rule.
What we do.
respond, not react. Our famous line, right?
Yep.
That's what astrology is for, I think.
Absolutely. Now, if the sun and moon are squaring the nodes, they are also squaring Chiron. Chiron is lagging a little behind the nodes, or ahead of the nodes, because the nodes back in. Mm-hmm. But that is activated as well. And Chiron holds the wound of identity here, because he's in Aries. Yep. So who am I is a big question.
Oh, like, boy.
Who am I? Where am I going? What am I here for? What is the purpose of all of this angst? What is the purpose of all this anger and upset? And what's the purpose of life in general? I mean, I asked myself that just over the Christmas holidays. What is all of this? And, you know, those are questions that need to be answered, but they have to be, there's no one pat answer.
Right. It's going to be different for everyone, for sure.
It's going to be different for everyone. And everyone will be feeling that sort of chironic wounding around their identity, whether that's because of the way they were raised as children, taught to believe certain things and that they could only achieve certain things, you know, or whatever it is, right, that we're dealing with that and its impact in our identity. Yeah. Like, can we be more than we believed we could be? Big question, not answered probably this year, but certainly something that we can take up as a call to meditate on or contemplate as we move into, you know, the future. And then a sextile to Neptune from the new moon makes it all a little bit more blurry, but also more spiritually inclined. Like, maybe we'll just feel like, you know what, give it to God, give it over. Right. I can't make head nor tail sense of all of this. So,
or the answer is love, you know?
Right. Love, L-O-V-E, right? And isn't love, I can't remember what it turns out to be in a numerological sense, but isn't the year we're going into a universal year 6?
Yes.
And
that's 6 is the number of love and also the number of Venus. Yes.
Yeah. So it's a great year for us to take up the cause of balance and harmony and peace.
That's 24, by the way. The year is an 8-year with a 6 sub story. 6 is the sub story.
I knew 6 entered into it somewhere.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. It's just going to be interesting to see how all of this plays out. But everybody should understand that at the new moon, there is a lot of Capricorn energy, which suggests you've got to really take a look at what it is you can leave behind and what it is that you truly authentically want to take forward with you. Mm-hmm. And then expect that there's going to be some madness going on around us.
Yeah.
Changes and court proceedings and it's all out there. Oh, but yeah. The new moon.
Thought about that, right? Like, collectively, you're right. The whole legal schmeagle, all of that could definitely play out around this time frame.
Yep, the political south node being in Libra, a sign of politics and diplomacy and tact and all of the things that we think of as how we get along in the world.
Good point.
So yeah, that's impactful too. But note, it's the south node.
Yes,
which means that we probably have to take a new look at what we're doing out there in the world. Right? I've long said that we have to do that.
really quickly, I want to say, you know, again, I'm always about simplifying information. I refer to the nodes as instruction books. Your north node is your instruction book for tools you can use to move yourself forward. The instruction book for the past is in the south node. These are information you can leave behind and work with. So tools, really, they're tools for us, is how I look at them. Yeah.
Yeah, they are. That's exactly right, Tam. They're tools, they're gifts, they're talents, they're the thing, experiences. It's the Akashic records, if you will, of your astrology, because it's holding on to every experience, every tale that's been told.
I love that language. That's true. The Akashic records of your personal natal chart or the collective chart. That's brilliant. Yeah. You said, yep.
Yep. And it's up to us then how we take that wisdom that's contained there and use it into the benefit of the North Node, which in this case is Aries. How do we establish a new identity nationally, globally, individually? How do we establish that?
Yeah.
And it's coming with a wound because, you know, sometimes we just don't want to give up who we think we are.
Right.
Yeah. So that'll be fun.
That will be fun.
A very, very powerful. It's notice on your calendars. It's in green, right? If you guys have gotten your calendars from me, it's in green. So that means it's a good day.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's personally for me or if that's all in general, because I've set this one for my personal days. But I would look at it as it's positive. Okay. And that's followed on the 12th. So we're in the new moon window still with Mars coming into a trine with Jupiter. Like that is a beautiful affirmation of what can happen when you remain optimistic,
right,
when you hold a bright vision of the future, mm-hmm, and when you take steps, action toward establishing the new.
Right. And would you also agree that with Jupiter being in Taurus, this could be relative to something about resources and or self-worth?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we might even find that we hear some positive economic news, like maybe the economy is moving ahead faster. I have already heard that a couple of different times. I noticed that my crypto holdings have like doubled in the last couple of months. Like I was so depressed because I was losing, you know, money, and now it's all back. I'm like, woohoo. So things are looking brighter in terms of the market capacities and things like that. But have we learned the lessons that Pluto taught us way back in 2008 when the whole thing went to hell in a handbasket?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That'll be a question for us in the future.
Boy. I hope everybody's as excited as I am about Jupiter finally stationing direct. Jeez Louise, later this week.
Yes, later this week. In fact, I don't even have that on here. Jupiter stations direct.
December.
Must be the 30th. I think it's
I think so. I think that's correct. Yep.
Yeah.
So Saturday.
Friday or Saturday, whatever day that is.
We're talking about January. What are we doing here?
Yeah, that's right. We're talking about this. And then Mercury on the 13th moves into Capricorn. If we don't already have enough Capricorn energy, you get some more.
Let's sprinkle a little more on there. And so now we can really get serious about analyzing the plans and what we're going to do. And whoosh, I have so much Capricorn energy. I love it.
And it's a time to communicate with clarity, with authority, and practicality.
Right.
You can't just have these pie in the sky dream kinds of things. They're nice, but how are you going to make it happen? What are you going to do? So focusing.
A dream without a plan is just a wish. Capricorn energy is perfect to take that dream and really ground it in and put your plan in action. And hello, if you need help with that, that's what I do. I am a strategic and spiritual business coach. Reach out. Let's talk. I have open office hours this year. My new business model is open office hours. So reach out to me.
Nice. Good one. And people can reach out to you at
tam@choosebigchange.com. And if Sharon Little is in there, type it in the, or Janice.
I'm doing it right now. Big change. Awesome. Wait, tam@bigchange.com.
Choosebigchange.com.
Oh, shoot. choosebigchange.com. Yeah. Okay, yep. There we go. And now I will actually put that up on the screen.
Loves a good work session. I the whole planning and getting your business out to the world. I love it.
There you go. So that's interesting because, you know, some people may need help with this. The air signs, right?
Yeah,
air signs might need help getting practical, getting down to earth, right?
Planning is the jam.
Yeah. And, you know, Mercury going into Capricorn, if it's not already apparent by all the other planets in Capricorn, is a time to find ourselves getting more organized.
Yes.
More disciplined and more efficient in what we're saying, in what we're doing, in how we're doing what we're doing. I think it's an invitation to be more patient and more perseverant and understanding that manifestation on this planet takes a little more time than I want it now.
Yes.
So it'll be a really good help for us to achieve our dreams or our objectives. But we also have to not forget to connect with our intuition during this time, right? There's more than just the what we do. It's about also who we be.
Like, I actually would add that I feel like that's like an underlying flavor of the whole year. Like if I am telling everybody, like, let's use the information from 2023, which is the answers come from within. You know, that seven energy of 2023 was about going in for answers, and silence is good for us. And let's that to me, a lot of that is the Saturn and Pisces energy. And we have that to work with all year, like start in January. Does this feel in alignment?
Absolutely.
And allow these answers to come in.
And there is no one pat answer either. And yeah,
right.
I mean, what is good for you and how you work is not how I'm going to work in my best way. So everybody has to find that path forward for themselves and be authentic in it. I mean, the energy of Capricorn, when it's working in its highest and best, is about almost ruthless authenticity.
Yeah. Integrity, right? And authenticity.
Integrity. Yeah. You've got it, right? So there's all that.
Love it.
What's your next day?
Holy cow. I'm just checking the time to make sure we make it through the month this year, this time. My next one is the 19th, Mercury in Capricorn, trine Jupiter in Taurus.
Do you have that on the 19th? I have that on the 19th as well as Venus squaring Neptune that day.
Yes. And that was another one that I have too. Yep.
It seems like a Neptune sort of week because that week on the 15th, we start with the sun in a sextile to Neptune.
Okay.
And then we go into Mercury in a sextile to Saturn. And then we go into, you know, the Venus squaring Neptune.
So all of these, like, emotional kind of.
It does. It seems like that emotions may be triggered from, you know, changes that are being made in your life. I want to also say that there's something in all of our psyches at this point. And for a lot of us, it may be there and we're aware of it. For a lot of us, it may be there, but we're not aware of it yet. And that is of this very powerful transition that we're going through in January, that will impact us now and into the next 20 years.
Yeah.
20 years.
2044 or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, I think sometimes we feel the weight of it, but we don't quite know what it is.
What is that? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is that that I'm feeling? Oh. And I think that starts to crystallize for each of us. And these moments before the 20th, which is a big day in the month, kind of remind us about our internal landscape and being intuitive and living life from the spiritual point of view as much as possible, but simultaneously remembering that you're on a physical planet and you have to take physical steps to do anything.
Right.
So it's a sort of, I don't know, it's a kind of a beautiful week.
Yeah.
But underneath it, we just feel this weight, this magnitude of something that has yet been identified. Mm. And that is a part of the 2024 as we go in, is the magnitude of those changes. What is it bringing to us? Because, you know, we're not necessarily creatures of change, even though change is the name of the game. And we might really feel like something's up because it is.
Because it is.
Because it is.
Yeah.
And then on the 20th, oh my gosh. So that day, if it wasn't enough that Pluto's moving into Aquarius at 0 degrees, right? 0 degrees is an anaretic degree or a critical degree.
Right.
And it is a degree of possibility. It is a degree of new beginnings. It is a degree of, God, I'm going to say this, but I'm not quite sure this works out exactly, but it's like a tabula rasa, blank slate, the tabula rasa. Have you ever heard that term?
No, I never had heard that. Okay.
Tabula rasa, a blank slate that nothing has yet been written upon. A newborn, tabula rasa, right? The earth has not quite written a screenplay yet on that infant. Tabula rasa in this respect means that we have not only Pluto moving into Aquarius. Now, this is the second time, so it's not like this is the first time.
Right.
But on that day, the sun also conjuncts Pluto at 0 degrees of Aquarius.
That's what I wrote. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's stacked, right? There's this stacking going on as we pick up that day's energy. I starred this day because I think even more so than the new moon, it tells the tale. So everybody should circle January 20th or so on their calendars because something likely in the world will rear its head that gives us an idea of what the magnitude is of the changes that are going to be taking place. Mm. That 0 degrees is that powerful. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say that it's going to be some beautiful expression of something in the world. It could be the exact opposite that shows us this glaring disparity, let's say, between those who have and those who have not. The glaring disparity between the war-torn world and the world that's at peace, sort of, right? So lots of things that can be going on the 20th, but just note them. Note how you're feeling about it, right? What's going on in your own personal life that day?
Good one for the journal.
This whole year, Tam, is a journaling year.
I agree with you. I know.
It's a journaling year because in some very key ways, we're also wearing something down. We're coming because in 2025, which we've not yet written the almanac for 2025, but in 2025, Uranus changes signs. We have Neptune changing signs. And when outer planets that take that long time to transit through something change signs, there's usually some big thing.
It's a year of completion. 2025, it's a year of completion. Yeah, it's the end of a journey of sorts.
End of a journey.
There's more journey to take, but yeah.
Right. And so we're getting sort of a teaser, maybe. On January 20th about what more is possible. Now, here's what I wrote about it.
A long pause.
a pregnant pause.
Right.
It is such a powerful astrological degree, 0 Aquarius is, and it signifies that transformation of the self and the collective. And that transformation is often very future oriented in Aquarian energy. It's the future, it's time, but as we look ahead, where in Capricorn, it was time as we look behind us.
Right.
And Aquarius also represents the humanitarian, the innovative, the rebellious, right? So there's some very key freedom, some key energies that are in there, but it can also represent resistance to change, the fear of change, power struggles in the dynamic, one side saying, yes, we're all for freedom and change, but yet the evidence suggests that everything you do takes away freedom, and another side being that way, but in a different way. I mean, it's like we are in this very weird thing. So I'm guessing that the key for all of us is to embrace the new while letting go of the old and the outdated. And this aspect to me also represents a global shift in consciousness.
Yes. Love that. Amen.
Yes. So there may be breakthroughs. There may be breakdowns.
Right.
Especially in things like technology and science and religion and social movements and politics, because Aquarius rules kind of those things, right? That's that Aquarian area. And we just have to be aware that we'll need courage to go forward here. But what I Googled, and this is so funny because I just went, you know what? I'm just going to Google this and see what I get. What might a global shift in consciousness look like in 2024?
You Googled that?
I Googled that because I'm like, I don't know what it's going to look like. So I Googled it to see what Google would say. And a global shift in consciousness is a term that refers to a collective awakening of humanity to a higher level of awareness, compassion, and wisdom. And it's a phenomenon that many people believe is happening or will happen in the near future as a result of various factors such as environmental crises, social movements, spiritual practices, technological innovations, etc. And here are some of the signs. These are not my own ideas. These came from Google. But I liked them enough to bring them up this morning as the energy of what's possible here. One, a greater sense of interconnectedness and empathy among people of different cultures, religions, and backgrounds, leading to more cooperation and harmony in solving global challenges. Let's hear it for that. Sign me up. Check. A deeper appreciation and respect for nature and all living beings, resulting in more sustainable and ethical choices and actions.
Take that too. Thank you.
Check. Sign me up. A higher level of creativity and innovation as people tap into their potential and express their unique gifts and talents.
Love it. Yes.
That's what we've been saying all morning, right?
Right.
A more holistic and integrative approach to health and well-being, incorporating physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects.
Woo.
Another check. And a more authentic and meaningful way of living aligned with one's true purpose and values.
Janet, can I make a special request?
Yeah, check.
Can you copy and paste that into a post?
Yeah, okay, I can do that.
Either here in the chat or in a Facebook post. Like, that's beautiful.
Isn't that? And that was from Google, right? We all think AI is so bad, but look.
Look at that. I'll take it. Amen.
Yeah. I'll take that. Now, it doesn't say anything about how we get to those points, right? In between that vision is probably a lot of choices and a lot of things that we have to get through. But I love that idea of this global shift and it being one of our own making, because we are that powerful as individuals.
I agree with you. I'm reminded of a coaching question that can be powerful for people. It's going to sound like a statement. Everywhere I'm afraid of the chaos of becoming changed, I now destroy and uncreate that. Everywhere I'm afraid, you uncreate the fear of becoming the chaos of being changed. It is chaotic to go through watching our world as we currently know it unfold and break down. It's the only way through to the other side, to what's going to be amazing and great and everything that you just listed. Thank you, Google.
Right. I mean, I was like, wow, Google has moved up in the spirituality realm. It might have been Bing. I don't remember. I use Google usually, so it's probably Google. But anyway, so that's the power of January 20th, right? In the greater concept of time, that day begins something, right? And to be watchful of what you're feeling that day, what's going on around you that day, what's going on in the bigger, wider world that day, as signposts of what more is possible as the rest of the year, but also the rest of the 2020s unfolds.
I have a quick question. Is this impactful for those who have a January 20 birthday? Is it any different for them? My daughter has a January 20th birthday, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what that means for her.
Oh, well, it's huge, right? Because her whole year is infused with that energy. And how old is she?
Oh my God.
I think she's gonna know.
No, she'll be 34 this year. She's going into a 7 year. Yeah.
So, you know, this is for her, kind of a theme that will recur throughout the year, right? That it's not just one and done. Like, but it's also characteristic of someone who likely has a part or a role to play in the future of this world. Like we all do. So I don't mean to say that your daughter's special because her birthday's that day, blah, blah, blah.
She's special. What are you talking about?
She is special, but so is everybody.
All right. Thank you. I got what I
need. It does impact her.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And anyway, so I mean, like everything after that in this month, it just feels sort of like in support of that particular change that's happening on the 20th. Yeah. Venus does move into Capricorn that next week, so she joins the party. But also, we lost the sun in Aquarius. It moved into Aquarius out of Capricorn. So, you know, we're losing the planets in Capricorn, but there's still a lot of focus there in that sign. Yep. And then we have the full moon on the 25th in Leo. Right. What did you think about that?
What do I think about that? Well, again, we keep our moons simple. I mean, I look at it as a super creative moon and maybe a little frisky too. You know, Leo highlights romance. I'm looking at it as creative expression and an opportunity to find out what might be in your way of you fully expressing yourself in those ways.
I'm going to show you a picture here that I'm highlighting at the moment. So if you see me drawing, that's what I'm doing.
I'm always drawing.
Because you're an artist. Hello.
I mean, I'm always writing as you're speaking is what I should have said. Like it's a light energy and a light moon. There you go. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. They're all on me. It's very social, isn't it?
Yeah.
Holy. Wow.
Yeah. So what I did was I looked at, it almost looks like an umbrella.
It does.
It's the moon that's holding this down here. This point is the moon.
Yep. Yep.
Oops, the moon in the full moon is actually holding the weight of, or the balance point for all of the planets that are above that horizon. And that means that there's a lot of power in that Leo moon. And a Leo moon is about the individual, right? Your individual self-creativity, individual expression.
Yep.
Look at me, right? Yep. See me. This is what I do.
Yep.
So it's beautiful, I think, as a full moon, as full moons go. We still see the sun in a very tight conjunction to Aquarius that day, mm-hmm. To Pluto in Aquarius that day within 5 degrees of it. So yeah, very much activated. The sun and Saturn are both at 5 degrees that day. So that is of the next sign over. So the sun is in Aquarius, Saturn in Pisces, and that makes it a semi-sextile, which means that there's some level of cooperation, of kind of collaboration in order to get things off the ground that we might need to enact, all of us, not just, you know, if you're an Aquarian. So that's part of that full moon. And then Jupiter is also a part of that full moon, but squaring the sun in that case, and also squaring the moon. So we have to watch out for going too far too fast.
Right, right.
We have to watch out for committing more than we can physically do or mentally do, right? We can't overcommit. So that will be something that we also want to be aware of during that period of time. And nothing else really jumped out at me around the full moon, except the weight of those planets in the social sphere of the chart being held by the moon in the more individual part of the chart. So meaning it really depends on what you do, how you express yourself, and you've got to be in the heart over this.
Yes, right. The Leo in the heart. Absolutely.
Leo in the heart, being in the heart. Yep. We could also look at the Black Moon. Lilith is also holding some space there. She's in Virgo. So we're also having to purify ourselves, mm-hmm. meaning not purify like in a religious sense, but, you know, letting go of those things that are toxic to us, emotions.
Release the baggage. Basically.
Yeah, all that baggage, get out, right? So that we can be the purest expression of ourselves as we go on through the month. So the day after the full moon, Uranus goes direct.
Yay!
yay, right? Now the contrarian nature turns more to the revolutionary. I don't know if that's good or not. It's well, good. But in Human Design, Saturn, interestingly, changes gates that same day. Okay. Now he's been sitting at the gate of abundance. So I think that setting has been very important in the whole economic outlook changing and being, you know, looking more optimistic a little bit, like some of the things, the actions that people have taken in the government or in the economy sector are actually starting to bear out some mm-hmm. fruit, like in a good way. But now Saturn's going to move into the gate of peace. The gate 37 is on the emotional center. Also, the 55 was on the emotional center. So Saturn is spending a great deal of time in that emotional sector of our charts or of our human design, the emotional center, which means that we have to create and build an emotional connection to peace and harmony mm-hmm. through interconnectedness, mm-hmm. through our families. And I don't mean the blood family necessarily, because there's all kinds of representations of family, right? Your yeah. work family, your hobby yeah. family, your social media family, your real family. I mean, all kinds of things. But creating peace will be the big keynote of Saturn now for the next several months after that.
Love that.
Yeah, I found that to be very hopeful.
Yes.
But anytime a planet like Saturn moves into a new gate or a new sign, even, what we often see first is all of that it is not in resonance to that energy. Mm-hmm. So in this case, we're seeing all that is not peace mm-hmm. first.
Yep.
And then choosing peace well, and harmony.
I'm thinking about earlier in the month, there is some revelatory information coming, and then like we have to sort of assimilate it. And then Saturn goes into this gate where like we're working at peace. I think it's perfect. So really, as January winds down, we have this new, I don't know, flavor as we head into February, where we can work on practicing peace, right? Or practicing at Saturn, peace. Say being serious and disciplined about our spirituality, which I mean, to me, peacefulness is a flavor of spirituality.
Yeah.
Nuance.
And it comes from within.
Right. It comes from within. Yes.
Yeah. And when you're peaceful within you, when you've created peace within you, then it moves to be a shining example of that right. in the outer world. And then other people pick that up.
Exactly.
So anyway, let peace be. There's a song. I mean, I grew up a Lutheran, so I had all kinds of, you know, religious music, but there was a song called Let Peace Begin With Me.
Oh yeah. Well, I had that song too. I was raised Catholic, yeah. but that's a song. That's
yeah.
a good one.
It's yeah. We sang it all the time. Let and I just felt
peace on earth. Let it begin with me. Right. Is that right. one?
That's the one.
All right.
And it just, it's the truth of the time that Saturn will be bringing us. Right. And Saturn in Pisces has been teaching all of us about bringing down the walls, and the yes. wall, the biggest wall is fear,
yeah.
right? The fear of other. Right?
You have a question on the chat, and I want, while you're reading that question real quickly, for those of you who don't have your new energy almanac yet, Janet has a link to get you an energy almanac. We have all new resources this year, which I think are really fun. And I just want to take 10 seconds to tell you about, we have numerology, aromatherapy and gemstones combined this year. For January, we're doing moonstone, which I happen to be wearing today, as well as
all kinds of stones in a moon.
Yeah, aren't we both? Sage and cypress. And tarot cards, rituals, which are really well written, beautiful, a ritual a month, a self-care article, a financial article, and I'm not going to lie, my very favorite articles are the laughter articles. How to add levity to the year, one article a month about laughter.
Where's that? Oh, I see it at the bottom of page 39.
Bottom of page 39. So I just wanted you to know, like, it's so much fun this year. You have so many different options for resources.
That's all. Awesome. I didn't even notice that, Tam.
Yeah. And J-Lo's asking about how Saturn will impact those with other planets in that same gate.
Well, yeah, I'm in that same boat with you, J-Lo, because I also have planets at the gate 37. So it means that that energy is ramped up for you in some way. So you'd have to go to what other planets are sitting there and understand what would the impact, let's say, of a Mercury be on the Gate of Peace. Well, that would suggest that maybe you would have to work on your communication in that particular arena. Am I communicating with peace, or am I communicating with anger or words that are loaded, let's say? So that would be, say, a Mercury that might also be there. Venus there might also be offering up possibilities for creating peace in your personal relationships, but you're layering planets there. So it does bring it more into focus. And that energy ultimately is about creating community. Big theme as we finish up another 400 year cycle that's been going on with human design. What is the community that you're a part of, and have you found your peeps, right?
I'm relating that to like Age of Aquarius, because I feel like that's part of Age of Aquarius. Community is immunity, is what I keep saying. Yeah.
So I hope, does that answer your question, J-Lo? Just, you know, say yes or no. So look at the planet that is also sitting there with Saturn. And if you can understand how that planet is playing out in your birth chart, apply peace to it.
Wow.
And then you'll have your solution.
Wow.
Yeah. She says she has Black Moon Lilith there. Oh. I know it will take me on a trip now. The Black Moon Lilith exposes us to our personal shadow selves.
Hi, Tina. Tina's just saying good morning. We're winding down. Good morning, Tina. I'm sorry.
But it's recorded. That's the blessing, right? So Tam, all in all, I think that January is a very important, I mean, it's always, I love that. Do less and like it.
This is my mantra for the year.
I love it. That is beautiful.
Everybody should make their own poster of what do they want in 2024. Something simple, something with words, something colorful or not. Put something in front of you to remind you of what you want in the year ahead.
Yeah, I already had my word for this year back in October. And that was completion. Yes. And I felt like this is a great opportunity for us to bring completion to certain things in our lives. And I have a lot of things that I looked back at that I wanted to bring to completion. So projects, mostly like things I want to end. Yeah. So everybody find their word. I love that. Not everybody can be as.
You don't have to be an artist. You don't have to be as creative as I am, but anything that's a visual reminder for who want to be, how you want to show up, what you want to feel in the year ahead. That just happens to be the way I do it. That's all.
I think it's beautiful. That's wonderful. Well, that brings us to a close for the month of January, a look ahead. I do. What would be February's dates? Nope, this is not a calendar like that.
Here, let's see. Let's meet again.
Let's meet again.
On... is it going to be the 24th or is it going to be February? Oh boy. Or it would be
the last Wednesday of the month or the first Wednesday.
Yeah.
Where do we begin February?
It's February 7th is the first Wednesday. So that doesn't work. So it's going to be the 24th.
24th of January.
I feel like I'm missing a week. What's going on here?
It would be the 31st.
My calendar doesn't show that day. That's very weird.
Yeah, the 31st is on a Wednesday. I had the calendar sitting.
Oh, there it is. I got it. Okay.
Yes. So Tam and I, sorry for that little hiccup burp there. We will be together on the 31st to talk about February. And February is going to be interesting.
On my calendar.
Yay. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. Tam, it's been a pleasure all year long to be with you, and I look forward to 2024. We can experience this new collective energy together. Take care, everybody. Happy New Year. We'll see you later in January. All right. Bye for now.
Bye.
Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Keys Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.